I don't know how many people brought Bibles with them, but I want to read from Zechariah and chapter 2. If you're not familiar with the way around the Bible, if you find the end of the Old Testament, it's the second book in from the end. Zechariah and chapter 2. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, "Where are you going?" And he said to me, "To measure Jerusalem, to see what it is width and what is its length." And there was the angel who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, "Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Up, up, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord. For I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up, Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation." Now, I know it's a prayer meeting tonight, but I think when we come, it's always good just to open the Word of God. And I trust that as we just think briefly on some of the things from this chapter, there will be things that will feed us in prayer. And I hope also there are things that will dovetail into some other events still to come in this week, and also when we get back to Twickenham. But here Zechariah is speaking to the people of God. God has been speaking to him through visions, and these he's passing on to the people. And the people have been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, and now they've returned home to rebuild the temple and to re-establish the community there in Jerusalem. Now, the early burst of enthusiasm that accompanied their return to Jerusalem and the desire to get on with the work did sort of fade away. It lapsed, and after a period of sustained opposition, it really ground completely to a halt after a period of about 14 years. And so God raised up prophets to come and to speak to the people and to urge them again to take up the work. And if we read in Ezra, we find in there that the work was re-established as a direct result of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. Now, Haggai began his ministry 2 months before Zechariah began his. And Haggai was called to speak to the leaders of the people of God there in Jerusalem. And Zechariah was called more directly to speak to the people themselves. And this is what we're going to consider this night. And here in this second chapter, he's obviously speaking about the temple, but as part of the Word of God, it's a word to us as well. And it speaks to us about the building of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we think about the church is not a human creation. The Lord Jesus himself said, didn't he, "I will build my church." But it is made up of human beings. It's made up of you and it's made up of me. And not only is it made up of human beings, but also it's human beings that work in that church. So actually build that church. They are part of the church and they are part of the building of that church. And here in Zechariah in chapter 2 in the first 5 verses, we see a man, and He's going out with this measuring line in his hand. And what's he doing? He's going out, he's actually planning the future city of Jerusalem. And he's a representation, and is a representation of the people of God and the task that is given to them, and therefore the task that is given to us. God is speaking to us through this. And the people here knew that they were about the work of God. But even knowing that, their attitude was not right as they went about this work. And they thought that the future of Jerusalem just rested with them, that it was in their hands. And the feeling was that God would simply approve whatever they did. They just had to do it, and God would think good of them and would be pleased in their labours. And therefore they thought not only that, but thought that the success actually lay with them. But of course, I trust that we all see that this sort of thinking is wrong thinking. It didn't lay with them. It lays with God, doesn't it? We are just those that work for him. We are clay in the master potter's hands, and he uses us as he bids to use us. And so the people there had to be corrected in their thinking. And the man is told by one of these angels that the safety and the, if you like, the prosperity of Jerusalem lay very much in God's hands. And as we think about that, we must just be careful as we think about this, and we must get our balance right. In all things in the Christian life, there is sort of God's sovereignty, there is man's responsibility. There is always the two sides of things, and we must always maintain our balance on things. So when we talk about the building of the Church of God, we have to say it is, yes, a work of man to a certain extent, because we read in God's word that it's laid by the apostles and prophets. But of course, it's laid on the chief cornerstone, isn't it, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But as it's laid by the apostles and prophets, also, yes, others continue to build upon those foundations, and it's other believers that are to do this work. But then what we must be careful about in all of this is that we look to God, because in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3, we see that we are to take heed how we build on these foundations. So how do we take heed how we're to build? Well, we're not to go off with our own plans, are we? We're very much to seek God's face over this. We're to very much look unto him in prayer and know what his will and his purpose is, not only for us as individuals, but for us as part of the church, as part of the building of what God would have us to do in that building and in the work of raising that building up. So we need very much to come in prayer and seek his face. We've been talking already this week about Christianity Explored. And if we're not careful, we can be taken up with Christianity Explored and the mechanics of that very vehicle, if you like, and forget that this is all in God's hands. And we must very much trust this into God's hands. So, you know, when we're thinking about this meeting in the autumn to start a new series, we must be soaking this matter with prayer before we get there. We want to know that this is right before God, and we want to know that God is going to be with us in this, that we're not going off and just doing our own thing, that this is the work of God, and God is going to use us through this. And the whole church must pray about this, not just those that are involved. And I must be careful I don't keep going down alleys tonight, because we must come to prayer in a minute. But, you know, it's like, you know, at Amiens Park, we have many works within the church. You know, nearly every day of the week, there is something going on, isn't there? And we can sometimes think of just the people that are involved in that work, that, you know, that is their work. But it's not, it's the work of the church. And we're all to be in that work, in fact, in prayer for that work and supporting that work. And so it's the same with anything that we do, that we must come and we must seek the face of God in these things. Now, I just want to also say something to the younger men amongst us tonight. We've been kicking off various meetings, and you've been looking at various aspects of God's word and the work that you can be involved in the church. But an important thing in this as well is that you all seek God's face over this matter. It's not for the elders to come and say that you're going to do this and you're going to do that. We must all know what God's will in this is and what he's going to call you to and what he's going to use you in. So the church, but you as young men as well, must seek God's face. And we want to encourage you in that. And that those of you here now, if tomorrow morning after the meeting, we'd just like as elders just to spend 10 minutes with you going through a few things. So if there's, you know, others that aren't here tonight, maybe they're in the creche or doing other things, if you can make sure that they know of that after the meeting in the morning. But let me just encourage you as well in this about seeking God's face and, you know, doing so, you know, continually, not just for vain repetition's sake, but for the sake of really seeking to know what God's purposes are for you in your lives and your lives in the church. We're thinking about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah, when he heard about the news of Jerusalem, when he was in Babylon, he wept much and he fasted as well, but he prayed about this. And I can't remember because I'm not very good on my Hebrew months and that, but I think it's something like 9 or 10 months he actually prayed about this matter. And when he started praying, he just prayed that, you know, something would happen. But it turned out that God was going to actually use him. And so during those 10 months, he actually discovered what God's will was, what his purpose was for Nehemiah in rebuilding Jerusalem. And so he came to a point after that when he was unable to stand before King Artaxerxes, he could give an account for what he wanted to do. And even there, he shot up an emergency prayer and the answer was given. And he was enabled not only to go and do the work, but he was equipped in ways that he didn't even expect to be equipped to go and do that work. And so it's going to be the same with you as young men. So we must all take heed how we build upon the foundations that have been laid. But we want to keep building, don't we, to the glory of God. We're not raising monuments to man's endeavours. We're raising a church under God's enabling to the praise and to the glory of his name. So we build and we build together. We build one with another and we're joined together and we're building a holy temple, aren't we, which is for the habitation of God in the Spirit. So, sorry, that's slightly longer than I was anticipating just on the first 5 verses. But let's go through the rest of the chapter very quickly. So let's go on and see God's work in building the church. Verses 6 and 7, and I'm going to read them out again, but can call these two verses the call of God. Because what happens here is God actually gathers together the building materials for the church. And he's gathering us together. He's called us, hasn't he, out of darkness. We can give God great praise and cause a great thanksgiving that he has saved such as we. And what has he saved us from a life of lawlessness and of bondage. And not only has he called us out of that, but he actually turns us into the building material for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes us to be living stones. And those living stones are actually fitly framed together to make this building. God has called us and has united us with him and with one another. He's chosen us to be together. Now, as I stand here and look around, I don't know whether I'd have chosen any of you to sort of be part of, but God has put us together, hasn't he? No, seriously, we probably would never have crossed paths if it hadn't been for the fact that God chose us and saved us and made us to be those living stones and has brought us together and framed us together such that we are the very church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as he has, we must continue to look to him. We mustn't turn back at all and look from where we've come. We must go on. And we mustn't turn away from one another. Rather, that we are to realise that we must come closer together, if you like, being fitly framed together. And we have to, in that manner, also get along together. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to speak about learning how to love as a family. And it's going to be an interesting evening. But it's important, isn't it, to be able to get along together in all sorts. If we think of a sort of modern building, a brick building, we lay down course after course after course. But you could say that the first few courses down are maybe the older people within the church. And then as you go up, you get the younger and younger people. But what is happening is those old first courses are supporting the others, aren't they? So there's not just an interaction across the courses, but there's very much an interaction up through the building as well. And the upper courses are very reliant upon the courses below them. And we must learn these sort of things as well, that, you know, the young men, the older men are trying to instruct them, the younger ladies, the girls, the older ladies amongst us, you know, to instruct them. There is so much that we can do to pass on and to help and to encourage one another. But let's remember, we are the material that God has chosen to use in making his church. And then verses 8 and 9, the power of God. The security of the people is in this particular chapter is confirmed by the destruction of their enemies. Here, the angel of the Lord speaks of being sent out to do that very work, to punish those that had harmed the people of God. And we're reminded that although the whole world and all the hosts of evil are against us, and all that they can bring together and muster together to come against us is not sufficient to overcome us, not because of our strength, but because of God's strength, and because of the fact that he is far greater than all of those who can come against us. So we rejoice to say that we are on the victory side, and we want to continue to know victories day by day, don't we? So we're to again seek to live very close to our Lord and bring all matters to him in prayer. And verses 10 and 11 speak about the presence of God. The angel further announces that God will be present amongst his people, and he comes not just to visit them, but to stay with them. And God is with us, isn't he? He's amongst us. He's with us. And by his Spirit, he lives in us as his holy temple. And we're to indeed know that as a true course of rejoicing, that God is with us as his people. So we're to continue in that joy of knowing him and knowing him with us, and knowing that we have a fellowship with Christ, and we have a fellowship, therefore, through Christ, one with another as God's people. And then just lastly, verses 12 and 13 can label these the choice of God. God does not cast off his people. We are his possession, and he continues to look after us and look over us and care for us and provide for us. We are, as it were, the apple of his eye. We are his special people. And he likes to even hold us up before all men. And we are to be prepared to be held up. We're not to cower away. We're to be those that indeed look to stand tall in the face of all opposition that we face, that the world throws at. We've been encouraged this week, haven't we, by the opening up by Billy of those first early chapters of Genesis. So it's very easy when we're on a holiday like this to think, yes, you know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to speak to this person, and I'm going to stand on this principle, and I'm going to, you know, be strong at work on this and that. And then we get there and we start sort of shrinking a little bit. So let's pray again that we will go back really invigorated and strengthened in the Lord to stand for that glorious gospel. He's called us, hasn't he, to show forth his praises in this crooked and perverse generation. He's done so much for us. If we can't do that for him, then we don't deserve to bear the name of Christian. So let's do that. God continues to hold us, and he has us in his hand. We are safe. We're secure there. What have we to fear? So let us continue by faith. We're sojourners, aren't we? In a foreign land. This is not our home. We're just passing through, and each day is a day's march nearer home. And we're looking forward, I trust, all of us, to that city which has a foundation where the builder and maker is God. So let's, I trust, be encouraged through his word tonight and be fed to be fueled in prayer.